This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2022, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders Educational Programs on March 24 and 25, 2022, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
So I don't know for sure what all the responsibilities are that you have, but I'm guessing that all of you are involved in nonprofit leadership. Certainly you would have an interest in this subject. So I want to start the session today with a refresher on the function of a nonprofit board because it gives a little background for the topic of healthy partnership with administration. This slide shows that governance means giving guidance to an organization and exercising stewardship of it. So giving guidance comes from, that's captured by the title Board of Directors, giving guidance. And exercising stewardship is captured by Board of Trustees. So board members are responsible to God, to government and constituency. So that's they're exercising a stewardship in that way, but they're also exercising a stewardship as giving oversight over the programs and the people in the nonprofit. So you'll notice that the first item here is exercise spiritual discernment to discover God's will for the organization. Second, establish mission, vision, and values. And thirdly, hire, support, and evaluate the administrator. Fourthly, set policies and oversee programs. Fifth, secure finances and protect assets. Sixth, ensure the legal, financial, and spiritual integrity of the ministry. Seventh, develop a strong board of learning members. And eighth, promote and maintain strong ties to the supporting constituency. I believe that this function of governance is the essence of board work. But I don't want to linger long over all of these things. I want to point out that this subset today of relationship with administration is a part of point three, to hire, support, and evaluate the administrator. And today's emphasis is going to be on working together in teamwork. We're going to notice some of the differences in responsibilities. Welcome, folks. Come on in. We're going to notice differences in responsibilities between management and governance, but it is a team that we want to head for as we consider the relationship of boards and administrators. In theory, nonprofit boards and administrators work together in harmony. Boards are expected to support and supervise the administrator of the organization, fully commit and engage with the missions of the nonprofit, and ask tough questions, then act as necessary. The administrator's responsibilities include items such as keeping the board informed of issues, working within the approved plans and budgets, and implementing the board policies, and communicating openly and proactively about risks and challenges the organization is facing. If you're looking frantically to see whether that's in print, it is not. But I'm trying to lay the foundation that the board supervises and sets policies and such, while the administration keeps the board informed of issues and works within the approved policies, plans, and budgets and such. Yet, instead of making sweet, harmonious music to the beat of the nonprofit's mission, many boards conflict with their administrator. One new administrator was upset and perplexed after a longtime board member told him to dismiss an employee that he was at odds with. The board member had no delegated responsibility over the administrator or personnel, yet he used his position to demand a firing. The administrator, sensing this board member's demand was not right, called a trusted advisor and asked for counsel before deciding how to handle the situation with the board chair. I'll give you a little detail at the end on this. That's an example of some zealous somebody using a position that isn't within his responsibilities and isn't the right way to handle things and mars the relationship between the board and management. So I want to think about the board administrator partnership in this way. Well, let me just admit that probably this kind of thing does it remind you of some situations that you may have experienced or things you may have faced, or maybe a fear that you have that something like this could happen to you. Perhaps your nonprofit board does not always sing in harmony with the administration. If so, let's explore the root causes of a board administrator relational deterioration, number one. Number two, the results of failing board administrator partnerships. Number three, the essential elements of a successful board administrator relationship. And four, strategies to get the board and administrator in tune. So I'd use a little bit, terms here interrelatedly, like singing harmoniously or partnership or teamwork, all aimed at the concept of engaging together. So first, that first area is the causes of conflict, and I'll propose that confusion of roles plays a part in some of the challenges that board administrators and administrators have. It's a lack of clarity sometimes, or a misunderstanding of each other's roles and responsibilities. For example, ideally, the board approves a strategic plan, and then the administrator executes and implements it. However, many administrators complain that the boards are too hands-on and operational. This causes them to be defensive when the board asks about operations. On the other hand, sometimes boards feel that administrators keep them in the dark until situations have unraveled and require board action. Again, underlying these complaints is confusion about and disregard for the different roles of the board and administration. The board needs to stay out of day-to-day operations, and the administration must implement the decisions and policies of the board. When the board and administrator frequently overstep their responsibilities, teamwork deteriorates and the resulting reverberations shock the senses of the supporting constituency. Teamwork disintegrates. Now, so having said that, let's just review that the governance board develops policies. Management implements them. The board is concerned about the ends, and the management considers the means to the ends. Governance deals with what, management the how. Governance means discerning and management acting. Governance thinks and uses the head, will say, and management does and uses the hands. Governance may be compared to the legislative body developing the laws, and management to the executive branch of government, where there is the carrying out and the administration of those laws. So while there is overlap, while everybody knows that it's silly to suggest that management doesn't think, still, it's helpful to notice that when you tend to divide, or when you try to describe that, it's these kinds of things can be helpful. So governance gives direction and guidance. Management ends up carrying things out. And boards tend to be more behind the scenes. Management is upfront and public. So if I were to describe the difference in body language, I'd suggest that the administrator is the face of the organization, and the staff are the hands of the organization, and the board is the heart, relatively invisible, but present, and if functioning well, almost unnoticed, because it's not necessary to be noticed, but it's a very vital role that the board has. Now let's move on. The second cause of conflict I propose today is poor communications. Disharmony on the board administrator level can also be caused by poor communications. Neglecting or forgetting to communicate about administrative challenges being faced is common. When communication is occasional, erratic, or begrudging, teamwork declines. Board members and management that aspire to excellence in governance and management must commit to communicate openly, even about issues that make either or both sides uncomfortable. Ignoring unmet needs for information is a common cause of breakup of the partnership. I'm going to give you some chances to interact with me, but I'd like to kind of go down a section or two and then open it up. But we notice that this poor communication causes a breakup of the partnership as well. So thirdly, a lack of trust. This common cause of trouble is in many relationships, and it applies certainly to the board administrator partnership. So trust is first extended to the organizational team when board members and administrators agree to join. And then, successively, trust can continue to grow as the board members and administrators become familiar with one another and confident in each other's competencies and intentions. Trust fosters respect, open communication, and a willingness to be vulnerable. A climate of trust frees staff to take calculated risks to meet or exceed expectations, and board and administrator unity will thrive as they work together. We could talk a little bit more about trust and how that trust is sometimes something we call earned, but other times we recognize that trust is extended as a way to build. Even if it's unearned, we need to learn to trust each other. And trust is sometimes weakened when we assume that somebody else has less than the best intentions. And those kinds of assumptions make it difficult to operate and to build a teamwork and partnership together. So lack of trust is another way that results in disconnection and breaks apart the teamwork that we all need. Let me talk a little bit what happens when the board and administrator don't get along, and then I'm going to open it up for any comments that you may have at this point. So what happens when the board and administrator don't get along? Some boards and leadership teams are really pretty good at keeping their differences and arguments hidden from public view. So maybe for some time, things can go along just looking pretty good. Donors and community members and other important stakeholders may not detect the friction or squabbles that are in the boardroom. And when the board administrator relationship reaches a crisis point, many people will be surprised at the breakup. Staff members and others up close may see the disharmony, and if anyone airs their frustration or belittles another, the staff is certain to lose respect for the entire leadership team. This wears on staff and volunteer morale. Disharmony may cause hesitance to discuss critical issues on the board level now, or administrative level, may just kind of push things in the corner and don't bring up and discuss critical issues that require thoughtful consideration and cooperative action. It may lead to deliberate maneuvers to exclude the perspective and participation of either the board or the administrator. And ultimately, board members may suddenly resign and choose to participate where the leadership team functions harmoniously. And disharmony may lead to the untimely departure of the administrator seeking a less stressful workplace. Having reviewed these harmful results of flawed partnership, I'm ready to ask for your questions or comments before we move on to consider the next section. Has anybody a question or a comment? I may not be able to answer the questions, but I'll try to at least repeat them. Well, that's fine, I understand. I will continue if you're ready. Yes.
This coming from an administrator standpoint, if something is shared in a board meeting, it comes loops back around because it is not kept in confidence. What's the best way to approach the board and, you know, obviously ask them to,
I think first of all, let me open it. The question is how to approach a problem that's caused when administrator board confidences are leaked out. Anybody? I think that one thing that we want to hold high is that there's kind of a sanctified place in the boardroom. This is one way to break down the trust, to leak it out. And so if we hold up the idea that this is a special, almost sacred place where important things are discussed and people join together to come to conclusions, and then they can go out from there and represent that to the staff, to the stakeholders, the donors, and the supporting constituency, then we've got a strong situation. But we're working today at building a partnership based on trust that's willing to be transparent with each other and willing to even endure or participate in a debate of ideas that helps forge the policies and the direction for the organization. So how do you handle it? I'm not sure I answered your question, but I'm getting at what I think is an important part that underpins this. So what does Matthew 18 say? Go to the brother. So that's the first step, go to the brother. And if he hears you, you've won your brother. If that doesn't work, talk to the whole board. And if he doesn't hear the whole board, then there are steps in the bylaws to remove a cantankerous board member. Now, I'd be a little surprised if we'd end up losing a board member over failed confidences. I would think this would be something that, you know, we could fix. But I'm just saying there are steps. And this is a team game, brothers and sisters. This is something that's worth fighting for. Anything more? That was a long answer. Yes.
Well, I just think a good approach, and it's not exactly the man approach, but to just say how it felt, like that is really helpful.
I like that.
Because with that.
I like that.
Yeah, you're not accusing them of anything. This just felt.
That's right.
Hard for me to know that.
To add to that, so you appeal to the other person on how you feel. You can use I words more safely than you words. You know, you did this, or your intention was this, and, you know, you can say it made me feel like you might have, you know. But there's different ways to approach, and let's go on. Thank you, brothers. Yes.
This is a big subject. It's hard to give a concise answer, I'm sure, but what is the ideal relationship between chair and CEO when it comes to mentoring, coaching? You know, the board is about what the policy is, the administration is about how. Is the chair crossing the line by suggesting to the CEO how he does PR, how he handles this, how he does this? Or do you strictly stay in the what role? Or is there a room for... What's the ideal chair-CEO relationship when it comes to mentoring, discipling, spiritually, emotionally?
Yeah, there's it's ideal that the chair and the CEO develop a close relationship. And a close relationship based on common organizational goals and supporting each other in these ways, but always respecting the difference of role. To not think that there's any way that we can really become close buddies like in other situations when you're on equal ground.
When do I cross the line to become an administrator and he's the VP? When do I cross the line to get too involved in day-to-day?
Probably you're going to find that when he asks you for advice, you're being invited into the space. And you're giving advice, you're not doing it, right? And so on. And there may be times when you need to bring it up and say, I'd like to talk about these things. But there's a title of a chapter in Best Practices for Nonprofit Boards, co-authored by three, and it's entitled Ears In, Fingers Out. I like that. That's the board's position. Listening, but we have to delegate. We have to leave the fingers out. I think that you already know this, but you're trying to lead me to say something more definite. I'm not sure that I'm better able than I have already. So,
what's the title of that book?
Best Practices of Nonprofit Boards. Yes, sir.
Former administrator is now a board member.
So, he took off one hat. Okay, the question is for the recording: what to do when an administrator resigns and becomes a board member? And it's not that uncommon for things like that to happen, like in choice books. In our area, I know I've noticed that kind of thing happening. So what's key here is for this, especially for this person, to take off the board member hat and put on, or the administrator hat, and put on the board member hat. If he can think of it that way, now I'm a board member, I've got to leave those things I used to do, and I'm helping the team. And it's related to the point I made earlier. If we can look at being a board member as being a team player, not a sole operator, where all I need to do is go make a statement to somebody and solve a problem. I had a friend, he's gone now, but he was appointed by his church to serve on the board of a local nonprofit, a nursing home. And he took it pretty seriously. And he went into the home, and he started listening to the nurse or this health care provider, and he started dispensing judgment. Well, then you do this to solve that problem, and so on. What was he doing? What?
Administration.
He was doing administration. And he was bypassing probably several layers. He was bypassing the director of nursing. He was bypassing the executive director. Whatever all the layers are, he was now in there just really having a heyday with taking care of this charge that he had been given. That is not the role, the proper use of the role of a board member. When you put on the hat of governance is when you walk in the board door. Then you join around the circle with the board. Now you become a board member in full measure. And it's not just you that's going to speak. It's going to be the whole board. There is where we find safety. And it helps us to keep ourselves as board members in proper line and so on. So I don't know how many board members are here today, but I'd be preaching to you. And if you're not, then you've got some concepts to consider that maybe somehow you can suggest that board members learn a few of these things. I need to go on, don't I? Thank you for the question. Yes?
So as administrator, how do you deal with a board member like that? You gave the response what the board member should do.
So what should you do? Yes.
So what was happening was the board would make a decision and I was called to enforce it and to carry it out, and he would come back later and say it shouldn't be this way.
Well, you say you appeal back to the board.
And that's what I did. And then he felt like I was rejecting him.
Well, sorry, brother, but...
a situation for me to work through.
Oh, it sure is. Well, that's a part of the cross that you're carrying right now, but be brave. You're on the right track. Anybody else have some comment?
Wouldn't the right... In his situation, if he's an administrator... His link is the board chair.
Oh, yeah.
So back to the board chair, just explain the problem of the board chair, deal with the dysfunction of the board.
That's a great, great answer.
We've had great communication with the board chairman.
Yes.
Between us.
Yeah. And even be careful, board chairs, you yourself are not the board. So, but yeah. Okay, we're on track here, I think. Is that good? Thank you. Any other questions? All right, we'll keep going. So I want to talk next about some essential elements of board administrator harmony. So I'm going to suggest here six. First, let's form a constructive partnership. Let's view this as not so much a big difference, but we're working together to carry out the mission of the nonprofit. This exists when there's a belief in shared responsibility and interdependence and a mindset that we need each other. We're in this together. As all parties recognize and embrace their obligation to work together in the best interests of the organization, harmony results. Secondly, I want to point out the idea, and a little bit in contrast almost, of an independent board. So sometimes nonprofits can start up with all the best of intentions. A man is very visionary, the founder, and he surrounds himself with sympathetic, like-minded friends on a board. And, you know, that can be kind of all right. I can envision starting out with coffee or their favorite whatevers and you know, having a good time, good social time. But, you know, that's kind of building the house on sand. We need to have something that endures better than just something tight around the administrator here, or at least if the founder is the administrator. It gets even worse if the founder is both administrator and board chairman, which has happened already. So what we were headed for here is that there would be establishment of an independent board where the members are not employed by the organization and do not report to the administration or staff members of the organization. Independent board members are free to govern without unhealthy pressures or conflicting loyalties. So the administrator accepts the board's role in choosing his successor and actively supports succession management. Further, he partners with the chairman to strengthen the board and works to avoid the development of board factions. An administrator fully committed to the idea of an independent board lays an important foundation stone for organizational success. I have seen a handful of nonprofits that have had some struggles and failures in this area. So if you happen to notice some of these things, if you get invited to serve on a board where things aren't set up well structurally like this, think carefully. I'd be careful about taking some of those, accepting some of those positions until things would be addressed. But each situation could be different. I'm just pointing out that I think an independent board is an important concept here, alongside the idea of a constructive partnership. So while constructive partnership can seem like there's tightness and independence militates against it, it's the concept of roles and what's going to work well for the organization that I'm strumming here. Is that clear? Thirdly, clear expectations. Establishing clear roles and expectations is vital to building and maintaining harmony between the board and administrator. This does not mean that there will not be some overlap due to the complementary roles. Discussion and agreement by all parties on the roles and responsibilities of the board and administrator are critically important in establishing clear expectations. And no one is in a better position to help work this out well than the board chairman. Fourthly, a culture of openness and candor. How are we doing on time back there? I need to keep going, don't I? No surprises, because these good discussions do help lengthen it a bit. I think we're okay. Culture of openness and candor. A healthy board administrator partnership thrives in a culture of open and polite candor. The tasks of governing and managing a nonprofit are too complex and significant to sweep difficult issues under the rug. Only boards and administrators that can be honest with one another have a chance of making pleasing harmonic music together. We could enlarge on that, I'm sure, but let's go on to strategic thinking. Both the board and administrator must engage in strategic thinking to lead a nonprofit ministry to success. Effective administrators bring questions of strategy to the board table, and board members provide thoughtful, actionable guidance on effectively implementing the strategies. Strategic planning is a partnership in which the administrators propose a plan and boards evaluate and decide on the plan. Finally, the board delegates to the administration the task of implementing the plan. This is board administration partnership in action. So I know if you're in a fairly young organization, small, and you just think, oh my, strategic thinking and planning, that sounds like something for a mature organization. I can sympathize and understand that. But still, on whatever scale that it fits for you to be thinking strategically, that's good. That's important for the board and the administrator to work on together. Can we go on? Sixthly, one voice. I think this is really helpful for a lot of the issues that we face in nonprofit leadership. Speaking with one voice arises out of this thought that the board has authority only as a body. So if board, I mean, okay, what did Edgar Stays say? He said that where there two or three board members are gathered, there will be differences. And that's human. So we don't expect that we arrive to the table and we're going to be singing the same line. We expect that we will have to look at the ideas that people have and work at it. And the goal is always to be discussing the ideas, not getting personal on things. So as we speak, after we hear the different voices in the boardroom and things are brought to conclusion, it may still be that somebody dissents, but he does so respectfully, as the others, hopefully, have been respectful to his dissent. And there's been an atmosphere of trust and teamwork, even though the conflict of ideas has been there. Once the decision is made then, so it's debate and decide. Once the decision is made, then everybody commits to this. This is the one voice concept. And so there may be some ways in which we need to modify this, but my challenge to you, based on the experiences that I have, is that when everybody walks out of that boardroom, that everybody is saying the same thing, because this is what the board decided. And I need to keep going. Speaking with one voice is a pretty important key concept in helping boards and administrators navigate well. So, think back to the illustration I gave in the beginning where one board member demanded a firing. And, you know, one person can speak for himself. We're not just zip-tied. Zip-lipped. We can't talk. But no one, including the board chairman, can speak for the board, both inside and outside of the boardroom. A proper understanding and regard for the concept of one voice is valuable in helping develop board and administrator harmony. Strategies to strengthen our leadership team. I think I need to keep going here pretty deliberately. Let's consider a theme song that we're in this together and make it something that we make practical. A constructive partnership that in which we recognize our dependence on each other, board on administrator, administrator on board, and so on. One practical suggestion on teamwork is for the administrator and board chairman to meet prior to the board meeting to review and finalize the agenda for the meeting. This investment of thought and time will help them manage the meeting harmoniously. Blessed is the leadership team that regularly acknowledges its interdependence with thanksgiving. Oh, I kind of skipped on that part B, that a chairman should require any performance concerns be addressed openly and kindly, and encourage the administrator to bring any concerns about the board to the board. So, thoughtfulness there. And for the board to review job descriptions, staying current with the job description of the administrator boosts the relationship between the board and the administrator. An annual review helps everyone stay abreast of organizational changes and the evolving roles and expectations of the administrator and the board. Do not view these documents as historical, but keep them relevant and current. A team that reviews and revises its expectations regularly will be healthy and strong. So my suggestion for all boards is that you have an annual time when you interview the administrator and hear his heart. He can tell you anything that he wants to say, anything he's facing. It can be a lonely job. So give him a chance to bare his heart and figure out some ways to feed back. Maybe the staff can feed back what they observe about him. Thank you. And maybe it's the board that also the next year fills it out, what they see about him. Give him some feedback, not with names attached, but give him some feedback, but always in the context of teamwork, and always in the context of we're in this together, and always with an eye towards this is good, but let's take this step, or, you know, that kind of thing. Need to go. Express gratitude. I guess it's already kind of been said, but develop a habit of thanking others for what they contribute to the team. It encourages all to participate. Gratitude works wonders in both the giver and the recipient, for its change, for it changes the outlook of both. 4, focus on strategy. Strategizing is at the heart of the board's essential work. It should have priority in the board meetings. Start the meetings with strategy while energy is still high and leave routine committee reports until later in the meeting. Putting the challenging material at the front end of the meeting will also entice habitual latecomers to come on time. Hopefully. No surprises. I think this is pretty important, too. Board and administrators build teamwork when they operate on a commitment to no surprises. So the board can surprise the administrator and vice versa. For example, a principal arrives at a board meeting to hear without prior contact that the board no longer trusts him. What a bombshell, right? On the other hand, consider the administrator announcing, "I'm quitting," or "half the staff is quitting," without warning. No surprises. If things are developing to that point, I mean, what kind of a partnership do you have? It's sad to think about it. So work at the partnership and be committed to no surprises. These surprises are a sure way to dampen the spirit of a board meeting. Wiser it is to give advance notice, wiser still to problem solve. And actively build trust. I think I've talked about trust enough. I need to keep moving here. And so the most crucial relationship that we're talking about, again, is the board chair and the administrator, and that is very crucial. I need to keep going here. What happened to the CEO and the long-term board member? The advisor guided a candid conversation between the board chair and the CEO on how they needed to support each other. Then he facilitated a discussion among all board members about their collective and individual roles and responsibilities, including to act with care, loyalty, and leadership. Shortly afterwards, the difficult board member was persuaded to resign peaceably. This allowed the CEO and the board chairman to move forward in trust and alignment. I would like to just quickly say, how well do you do at work as a team is the third of Gail Gifford's yardsticks to measure a board's performance. So we've been working on that today. If you would like to look at some resources, I suggest that you consider those that are on your handout. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. All recordings from REACH 2022 are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. To purchase additional recordings from REACH or other Faith Builders events, visit us online at www.christianlearning.org or call us at 814-789-4769.